You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Hello, everybody out there. You're listening to Bradley Martin of the Screener Squad, and I got a jazzy review for you today from the mind of August Wilson, who's behind Fences, which you can see on YouTube for free or rent the Denzel Washington Direct feature, I believe. We're here to talk about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I have with me Rose.
Hello.
Alex.
Hi there.
And Trevor.
Hey, all you boppers.
Now, this is 1927 in Chicago. I don't know the lexicon or what the lingo was back then, so I'll probably drop the DJ act.
You'd probably sound a little more like a 1930s, like a racetrack caller back in the 30s on radio.
Yeah.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It's a fantastic film, I tell you. Hot crackers.
That's exactly what I was going to go for. Then I thought, no, that's 40s, 50s, right?
Kind of. Can't beat that.
So we do have this band showing up to record a session in 1927 Chicago for Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey's band. They're waiting and tensions are rising so they can get this song, this album put out. And then be on their merry way. It's a one-location film, although I think there might have been a very brief introduction of Ma Rainey performing at a club. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the story at hand. We got the four band members showing up, waiting for Ma Rainey, and a very skittish producer also waiting for Ma to show up and hopefully blow us all away. Now, a lot of this film is heavy on theme, dialogue, conversation, mm-hmm. and ideologies. I was shocked at how much there was to impact about four people having conversations in a room waiting for their matriarch to show up. How did you guys feel about this?
You know, I think it's something that when you see a translation from stage to film, you're going to get a lot of. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't mind location films. I don't mind bottle movies. I actually rather like them. But I think what this does, and specifically in this case, and in Fences, you know, the other film adapted from August Wilson, is that it is a showcase for some really powerhouse performances.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're in theater, when you're in a live setting, the only thing that's going to drive a story further is the performance. You really have to lean on your actors. You have to lean on them presenting the script to make it interesting for the audience. Mm-hmm. And so that script now told on screen is just a fantastic showcase for, I don't think there's a raw or a bad performance in this film. It really is just a fantastic, engrossing watch.
Absolutely. There is a huge cast of wonderful talent here. Viola Davis, who was in Fences, is playing the titular Ma Rainey. Chadwick Boseman, and I believe this was his final performance as Levy. Am I saying his name right? Levy?
Levy.
Levy, yeah.
Coleman Domingo as Cutler. Glenn Turman as Toledo. Got Michael Potts as Slow Drag. And the very skittish Jeremy Shamus as Irvin, who seems to just, he's just all over the place. Like
that poor bastard.
I was in Wonderland, like, oh dear, oh my, we gotta get this done. Wait, where's Ma? Do it how Ma wants it. No, wait, my producer wants it. And it's just a silly, and he has the most to gain and the least to lose is what I thought was interesting about it.
I really liked the conflicts that are set up here. I mean, it's a bottle movie. It's a slice of life from a recording session. And, of course, when you're dealing with artists, you've got egos clashing. But what we do in this film is that we see that that trope, that thing that you expect to see, is just kind of a framework on which they hang some social issues, some commentary, some storytelling. And it's just, I was really blown. I only 15 minutes off of watching it, and I was just really blown away.
Alex, what are some of your favorite characters here? And what did you think overall of this cast?
I mean, Chadwick Boseman practically stole the movie with his just magnetic energy. And he would go from being like over the top excited to downright livid. And then he would go into just these tear-jerking monologues about his awful upbringing and about how he wasn't going to take any shit from anyone else.
How about you, Rose?
I thought it was just, yeah, so engaging, all the different performances and the clashes of personality and everything. And I especially liked Cutler, where he was just like, man, I'm so over all this nonsense. I've met kids like you before, you know, with your egos and everything. And you're a dime a dozen, until he finally reaches his limit. And then, you know, that's seen later on in the movie. But yeah, it was just kind of funny, like, how chill he was when tensions continued to rise.
What I really loved here is that when Ma Rainey finally shows up, she is the big star. She's the one everybody's talking about. She hangs over this movie just as a presence, mm-hmm. even when she isn't on screen. And Viola Davis inhabits this role. I had that moment of, I think I may have caught just like half of a trailer before I actually sat down and watched this. And when I saw her, I'm like, oh my God, that's Viola Davis. Because there's a physical transformation that's going on as well. She put on a lot of weight for this role, which she has then subsequently lost. And now we're seeing those transformation photos. But specifically with the Ma Rainey character, she comes in, she talks tough, she wants it the way she wants it. She's very particular. And you can see that as being an egotistical Orson Welles kind of move. But they do such a great job of motivating that,
mm-hmm.
and showing you why she is the way she is and why she has to be the way she has to be. That it rounds that out. And she's not the bad guy. She's just an antagonistic force in the movie. On the other hand, you've got Chadwick Boseman as Levy, who also has a really good motivation for the way he talks and the way he deals with people. Mm-hmm. He's got a fully realized motivation there, and it's that conflict, that clash, where you're rooting for both of these characters, but they definitely have, odds against each other. And I think, obviously, that's what makes an interesting film, but it's played especially well here.
I love that it opened with that performance by the whole band immediately in the tent, where you can see the little inklings of how Levy's desire for the spotlight is going to cause a lot of issues between him and Ma and everyone else.
And those are those visual touches that you can't get on stage, you know?
Yeah.
Transporting an audience from a revival tent to a recording studio obviously isn't the most plausible thing in a live theater environment. So mm-hmm. that is something that, you know, the film adaptation can bring to the table.
I love that all the costuming is period accurate. Like, I watched the little making of featurette they had on Netflix, and they talked about how this woman who was like a costume historian had put together like this huge portfolio and like made each of the costumes.
There's a lot of very heavy issues, some that might still resonate with today, you might say.
Yeah.
Anybody have a particular favorite issue they touch on? Or,
well, you know, the issue of race is absolutely here. And I think that's one that we as a panel are kind of tap dancing around, because it's, we obviously have a particular point of view, and it's not the point of view that's represented in the movie. Now we may necessarily, be pretty good people and, you know, on the right side of things, but it's hard to talk about when you're a white person.
Yeah,
there it is.
When you're a white person and you're talking with other white people, it's really hard to, you know, touch on these issues. But, you know, the race hangs over this. Race is the major motivating factor for all of these characters. It's a major part of the set piece. This is obvious, you know, August Wilson is a writer who is a person of color. The director is a person of color. The cast are all people of color. And this is a film, a story for people of color. Now, I enjoyed it, but I also want to be very careful because there is a lot being said here about appropriation and white people taking black culture for their own and things like that. And so it is hard to talk about, but I also don't want to leave it on the table undiscussed because that's what this movie is about.
Yeah, especially in regards to the appropriation part, the very last thing that you see in the movie is just so devastating and awful and really hammers that point home if you didn't get it from watching the rest of the movie.
Yeah, that final shot, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. So I'm glad you, Trevor, pointed it out. Well, of course you do. You know, I there's nothing I can do about it. And it's so upsetting that it's, even after all this time, such a secret. The first time I found out about anything like that going on was that documentary, A Band Called Death, if you've heard of that. And I was like, what? No. What? Well, why would that be a secret? And my wife would always give me this look like, honey, you know why it's a secret.
Yeah.
You're not as naive as you look. And I'm like, I kind of am. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very incredible monologues from everybody. Now, they all had something to say, and all of it seemed to come from a raw place and always from the heart, all of these characters. And whether you agree or disagree with it, did you all feel the writing was not about agreeing or disagreeing, just about actually getting it out there? And
absolutely. I think it's about being validated. It's about being heard. I mean, the fact that this movie exists is a step in that direction, that these are stories that haven't been told. We are ignorant of them. We are what this is for, that, you know, show us this slice of culture that we, for whatever reason, either didn't expose ourselves to or weren't exposed to, and that we will always forever be outsiders looking in. But I think that's what this movie is for a large part of it, is we're really angry. All of our anger is valid. It's real. And these are the ways in which we're coping with it, and the ways those coping methods rub up against each other and lead to internecine fighting. And, you know, the concluding moments of this film, I wish I could talk about, because it really drives the point home.
But
there is something to be said about what we see as people in the external and what's gone on before that, leading up to that moment.
I want to say, Ma herself even kind of, you know, again, if you weren't already getting that from watching it, she sets up, you know, kind of a telling you what's going on when she's having this dialogue with some of her bandmates, saying, you know, yeah, this guy acts like he's my friend and my champion and everything, but he's only ever invited me over to his house to sing for his friends.
It's so cool to see Ma stare what she seems to be aloof to in the face, but maybe that aloofness is a survival thing. But she calls it out very strongly and very objectively for what it is. It's like, man, she's not a freaking lounge singer. She's a freaking hero. And wow. Great dialogue, of course. Great delivery by it's Viola Davis, of course. And yeah. I was just flabbergasted by this performance. Alex, you were going to say something earlier. What do you got?
Yeah, I was going to say, I love when Ma has a chance to justify what would be seen as bitchy diva behavior, where she's like, this is what they have to do if this is what they want.
Yeah.
Well, and she makes several valid points. There's a subplot in the film about her trying to get a job for her nephew. And the nephew has a stammer. He's supposed to have a vocal recording on this record. And they have to go through. And there was a montage. I thought it was going to be a comically large, like, we've been at this for 60 takes. No, they do it in 7 takes. Which for any other recording artist, let me bring in my nephew, do 7 takes so he can be on the record and get paid, wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's this major bone of contention between the bandmates. between Ma and her manager, between the manager and the recording studio. It's this huge production that really would have been resolved in any other case, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's Dusan Brown, I believe, and the character's name is Sylvester.
Yeah.
And also, again, a side character. And at first, it seemed to me like, oh, okay, so this will help with the runtime. But no, just like what you said, Trevor, it comes around to actually being an important point and plot to the whole thing. It's very cool. Well, we're about getting to that moment of our final thoughts. Rose, why don't you lead us?
I really, really like this movie. I guess I didn't realize going in that it was based on a play, but it immediately struck me as one where after the intro, the more kind of cinematic visual storytelling stuff stopped and it was just these guys talking in the one room, I was like, oh, but this is based on, oh, this sounds like some August Wilson. Oh, okay, yeah, it is. So it took me a little bit to get into that, just that this is clearly adapted from a play and it feels like one thing. For me, usually that's pretty hit or miss when it's pulled off, but the substance of what's here totally overrode all that, and I really, really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. And I would give it 8.5 forgotten bottles of Coke out of 10.
So what do you got for us, Alex?
Often I've seen plays turn into movies that either don't know how to escape the confines of having previously been on a stage or try to go too far beyond that. And this one towed the line really well. Like, it gave you those moments in the tent or out in the street, and it wasn't completely bottled up in the one room, which wouldn't have been terrible, but yeah, I was blown away by all of the performances. It was crazy. Like, this movie made me cry a lot. I wasn't expecting that going in. I'm gonna give this 9 out of 10 brand new pairs of canary yellow shoes that just make you want to dance.
Yeah, the performances here are what you're in for. This isn't necessarily a movie that you're going to come away from it saying, oh my God, the twists and turns in that story or that narrative. This is a character piece. It's several character pieces in a much broader presentation, and it's just a slice of life. It does that very well. It does tell a very good story. And like you said, everybody said, the performances here are outstanding. They're otherworldly. They're definitely worthy of consideration on the awards level. I think they probably will be.
Undoubtedly, yeah.
And it breaks my heart to watch Chadwick Boseman not only give a very emotional and very genuine performance, but also to know everything that's happened since then, that he has passed and that we don't have this talent among us anymore.
It's not fair.
Was also super heartbreaking. And then the overall story itself is just, it's kind of sad, and it's not kind of sad. It's tragic is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of sit and confront what you've just seen. And that can be a little draining. So this is not a feel good movie, but it is effective. It is stellar. I think about the only complaint I have is that it is a very static movie. It is a very character driven story, and that it's not much of a movie, but that it is a good presentation, and it's done well, and film is really just the medium here. Mm-hmm. So to that end, I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 improvised jazz notes from somebody who's just really feeling the music.
Yeah, and I've liked jazz since I was a little kid, since Bleeding Gums Murphy told Lisa, jazz isn't about making yourself feel better. It's about making other people feel worse.
There you go.
that's pretty cool. I'm kind of going to lean into this music, and I've liked it since that time. And this very much, though it doesn't have much music in it at all, and that's why I signed up for it. I thought it was going to be about a band, and it is actually without as many musical performances, because these musicians, much like how jazz works, all share each other's pain. And pain is how you really connect with someone, unfortunately. So I love that, and I'll probably rewatch this often just to see if I can get any more out of it, since this dialogue is so great. Probably going to put a bunch of August Wilson plays on hold now. So I'm going to give this, let's go with 9 horns in a 10 brass band.
There you go.
All fighting to be first chair. All right. Anybody want to go out on a joke or just...
You know, I don't know that I'm going to go out on a joke, but I will just tell people, you know, number one, check this out. And number two, look for more like this. Look for more films from people of color. Look for films of perspectives that just aren't yours, period.
Always.
And especially these stories. Ma Rainey was a real person. Go look her up. Go wiki her now. And it's fascinating. I'm 5 minutes in. I'm no aficionado. I'm no historian, but... It's really interesting, and that's part of what this movie is let's get these stories out there, and let's hear these voices.